All right, lots going on in the college football world. Brent Venables is the new Oklahoma coach. Mario Cristobal is the new Miami coach. They finally fired Manny Diaz. Would have been awkward if they would have just hired Mario Cristobal and not said anything to Manny Diaz. But it is a evolving situation, as they say. And now Oregon gets to hire a coach. And Dabo Swinney gets to hire a defensive coordinator. Brent Venables was one of his most important hires. Now this might be even more important considering what's going on at Clemson after this season. We welcome in Matt Verzal. It's not a bad time to be a coach, is it? You get $8 million to go away. You get $9 million to join a staff.
No, dog. Life is good as a football coach these days.
Hey, so
it shows you the power of the monster that is the sport of college football.
Oh, it's such a humongous business, and it's in the must-win now or have-to-win-now, want-to-win-now, that you sometimes overpay for coaches. But don't you think schools that are going to be looking at possible openings next year or the following year, the bar has been raised now. If you think you're going to play in the $4 or $5 million range to get a coach that you want, aren't you just kidding yourself? When we look at Mario Cristobal is going to make $8 million at Miami, what Mel Tucker is making. I mean, aren't we just where we're kidding ourselves if you're thinking $5 million and below for schools next year?
Well, maybe not kidding yourself as much as you have to have an excellent or above excellent process of evaluation for younger coaches. You know, you're probably going to, if you want to go the budget route, you're going to get some eyes rolled at you. But if you've done some due diligence and seen what somebody can build and how they do it, you know, that usually translates from level to level. So they have to have a track record at a school that they're at, and they kind of revamp it and build things up and show you how they recruit and show you how they create a team and create culture and all those things. So, yeah, it can be done. Your evaluation process has to be second to none, though.
How do you play the role of an athletic director or a head coach that's hiring an assistant coach? How do you sell an addition to your staff or somebody to run your program that doesn't fall under the heading of the splash hire that everybody knows about and everybody is clamoring about, but you know that that is the person that is the right fit and is a really good football coach? How do you sell that?
The way I would do it is say, hey, we've all been through the mud, right? We all didn't. Mm-hmm. Football is a game of grind, right? Now, the higher up you get, the less you seem to have to do that. But what I would make sure of be like, hey, this is what this human being has done. This is how they've created it. And they're much the same as you, that they've worked their way up through this. They've earned this spot. And you kind of sell that vision and that hope. Like, that's being a college athletic director, I think you're more salesman than anything. And being a head coach, you're for sure a salesman and sometimes a sketchy salesman than anything. But it's that spiel. You know, for those out there working in the sales world, what's your elevator speech? For those out there on the farm, you know, do a little price negotiation. But you've got to be able to sell a vision, and you've got to make sure that person you're hiring, that you're selling the vision of, knows that vision's got about a year, 2 years to come true, or it's going to get dicey.
What do you think the vision that was sold to Mickey was to get him to come here?
Come home. We need your help. You've lived a life, Mickey. Like you've done some things that people probably shook their head at the time. But how far you've come and the maturity that you have now, you've got great inroads in the southern states. You can help us. You're a piece of the equation that we need. We've got to start to build this team mentality here, where everybody legit said over and over again, we all got to pull the same rope in the same direction. You can't have guys pulling it in opposite directions. You're never going to go anywhere. So I would tell him, hey, we miss you. You can help us. I think, you know, having probably some knowledge of the athletic director, there's a little straight shot there.
Yep.
Like, hey, bud, you know how I roll. Like, we ain't playing up here. We got to get this thing right. We got to get it ready. We got to go now.
What do you think he'll do? I said this on Friday. I think if I'm a current wide receiver, I'm very excited. I know a lot of people are talking about Mickey's recruiting acumen, but he's been around some guys that are pretty good pass catchers, and he's completely different from Matt Lubick. If I'm a guy in that wide receiver room and they just hired a guy that I think can maximize the talent in that room. What am I most looking forward to if I'm a Betts or a Manning, guys that have played a little bit that are returning next year?
I'd make sure I knew that I had two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Love that.
And maybe I better clean my house and get my academics right. And whatever little attitude I think that makes me think I'm better than most, I'd probably lose that and realize that to get on, you better get along or you'll get gone. So he can put pressure on them, but he also has a track record of, hey, I've acted a fool in college, mm-hmm. right? I've done some things. I've been around the block a time or two, as they say. So whatever you think you're getting over on, bud, I've done it, and I know what you're doing. And it ain't right, and it ain't going to help you, and it ain't going to help the team. So, you know, if you struggle with academics, you got a support center to go get yourself right there, down the hallway. If you don't think you need to do X, Y, or Z, you do. So we're going to do this together. I'm going to show you the way. Mm-hmm. And if you got that dream of playing in the NFL, I got 4, 5, 7 guys that are doing it right now, and this is what they did. So your path is going to be your path. You better clean your house. You better be able to act right, or I will find someone to take your job.
If you are, you know, now there's 3 jobs that are open, position coach jobs, running back, offensive line, quarterback, and just talking about the wide receiver, and I agree with you about Mickey's relationship with guys that are in that room. I mean, they're going to have to it's go time. But if you're looking at those 4 position groups that are open because of the firings and now coming up on the hirings, who has the best chance, and you don't know a name or you may know a name, to walk in and maximize the talent in that room, that you feel that the talent in that room has not been maximized and all it'll take is a different voice, different eyes, different technique, and then you can say, man, they are maximizing the talent in that room?
Am I in any room that's still available?
Well, yeah, any room that's available.
Okay. Before you know your running back coach, and this is terrible on my part, I don't know who's left. I don't know who's left in the room.
Irvin,
I feel terrible saying that.
Yeah, Irvin Johnson,
but
yeah,
I know
step.
They have talented individuals in there, mm-hmm. because they've just had a lot of guys leave. Like, there's a lot of attrition. I would evaluate that room just in the aspect of I'm coming in blank slate. Okay, I'm going to find some stuff that's raw. I'm going to find some stuff that's really good. And we're going to get after it. Right? That to me would be my hardest working group. Like I would work them to the extent of failure almost every day, because I think you have some diamonds in the rough in there and some guys that probably need to live up to potential. In the offensive line room, I think you're going to walk into a situation where you're holy S might be your first word. Like, I got some guys, like I got some dudes that can play. I've just got to get a little bit of a mindset shift, and I've got to get them, you know, where they're full of piss and vinegar 24/7. Not 24/7, but for those 3 hours we're on the field or 2 hours in the meeting room, like, you can be the biggest D-bag you want to be. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's a fantastic experience. But then that helmet comes off, you get in the locker room or whenever your turnoff time is. Then you turn off and you just go back to being a good person. You just go back to being a good human being. And then you go for that 3 hours a day, that's where we're going to come out. We're going to whoop ass, take names. I think the person that inherits that room is going to be pleasantly surprised. So that one's more of a remold.
Yeah.
The running back room, and I apologize to the great listeners. I don't know everybody in there, but I think there's still talent in there from what I know and what's been there before. And then as far as, like, the special teams guy, if that's what we're still waiting on, or I don't know if anybody's got hired for that, that one's probably going to be my biggest guy that's got to be – he's got to understand concept of the greater good, right? Because right now you have – you know, you've got a defensive team that executes really well, puts teams in great positions. If you screw something up, we can help you most of the time. We're human beings. We're going to get tired. You got an offensive set that struggles a little bit. Then we try to bring them together on special teams. And there's probably a little resentment there. It's like, well, I got to do my job and this guy's job because this offensive dude, you know, they aren't pulling their weight. So I got to pull a little bit extra weight. And then that's when it all goes bad. Okay. So whomever in that special teams crew, I would try to make just really, really, it's cliche and it's all those things. I would accentuate, we are making ourselves the third phase of this game. We are the third team in a team. There's not a defensive team. We are our own special teams team. When you get in my special teams room, that's what you're committed to. And offense, you know, whoever the OC is, he's got to say, his spiel to me is easy. We have got to pull our own weight. We are not pulling our own weight right now. That's your challenge. Okay, you got to play up to the level of your defense. You got to play up to the level that they've made it to. We can get there quickly, in my opinion, if they have full autonomy to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's kind of how I would break that down. The running back room would be my challenge room. The special teams guy would be my team room. The offensive guy would be my reshape room. And then the OC just like, hey, we got to have some pride in what we do. Like, we can't be the weak link in this chain.
Do you think, and this may be the week that we find out about an offensive coordinator hire. If you are a guy that's returning on this current roster, are you encouraged or going, if the person that is hired really has no connection to the head coach or Nebraska, that is completely new, is that a good or a bad thing?
I don't think the tie to Nebraska is a big thing. Probably what I would be more wanting to hear is that person, whomever they may be, look me in the eye and say, listen, we got however many left on scholarship, we got however many walk on. If they look me in the eye and say, everybody's getting a square shot, we are legit starting over at zero.
Mm-hmm.
If you started a game, I don't care. If you've won a game, I don't care. We're starting at zero. Everyone will start with a clean slate. So if you've acted a fool and you've done some crazy things and you haven't played very well, guess what? We push the delete button. We're starting over. Here's your opportunity to impress me. And you're going to impress me, by the way, that you come out here and you work. Are you working as a professional every day? Do you consider this your trade or your craft? Are you willing to listen and get better every day? If you're willing to do those things, put in hard work, and get better every day, then we can do some stuff with you. If you don't want to, that portal is open for everybody.
Give me the pros and the cons. Matt Verzal joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Well, just a couple of more minutes here. Give me the pros and cons.
The pros and cons of me joining you on the show. I think I make you laugh at least once a Monday.
The con is that
you have to listen to me ramble at least once every Monday.
Okay, fair. Pros and cons of Cam Jurgens not coming back to Nebraska.
Oh. The way he was playing by the end, the pros are going to be hard for me, because I don't, you know, that's a guy that's been through, he's been drugged through it, man. You know, and he did everything he needed to do that was asked of him by the team, right? Hey, you're tight end currently, but we need you to put on 50 and move to center. And then you're going to struggle with some stuff, but we're not really going to, you know, not sure how we're going to help you with that. And then we're going to get you help eventually. And that's going to draw criticism. And then, you know, I think Cam, for what he is, you know, for those that are Peyton Manning or old school, older school or mid old school football fan, you know, he has the potential to be like a Jeff Saturday, like if he stays at center.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them moving him to guard in the NFL. He's got all the measurables. Like, physically, he's a freak. So he's been drugged through the mud. And maybe that's I can't even call that a pro. Like, that would still be a con to me. Because I would have loved to see him have the opportunity to play another year or you know, wanting to play another year and come through. And almost middle finger everybody, you know, me included, because I should have probably just shut my mouth and went down and offered some help when he was struggling snapping, but I didn't. So that pros are hard for me. The con would be, you know, he's, I think, with some more teaching and some more learning, he's going to be real good for them. He's going to be a really good player for the University of Nebraska, or for whatever college team.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, whatever pro team picks him up.
You think, if you're advising him, do you say, I understand you might be a second-day guy, you got to go?
If I'm advising Cam?
Yes.
Hold on, Sharpie.
Mm-hmm. Josh, what do you think he's doing? What do you think this is an inquiry from a customer about?
Sorry about that.
What
no
time
problem.
Do you open? I bet it was what time do you open.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay. So do I think if he's a second guy, day guy, if does he come back?
Yes.
No, I don't.
I agree.
I don't. Because he's, man, he you know, you bring, you look at NFL offensive linemen right now, right? The freaks, and they're big dudes, and they just move, right? Cam is a big dude, and he's his body when he first put on the weight, it was like, hey bro, like, let's calm down here a little bit. Like, we're putting on some LBs, and we're still, you still want me to do all these, you know, quick twitchy things, and I got to get used to this. Like, you know, he had ankle issues and those kind of things, and now his body has settled into it. And then you saw he was able to kind of just play, right? Like he by the end, and Aaron Stemp, who's recovering from some surgeries at home, will like this because he and I were going back and forth about it. But by the end, he was able to display his athleticism as he played. So the NFL will see that, and they'll be like, hey, this is just a raw lump of clay, and we can take him, you know, late second round, wherever it may be, whatever happens, and say I got a center or a guard that's been there for, you know, 5-6 years for me,
mm-hmm.
at my team, and then I can, you know, get rid of that guy at the end of his contract and say, all right, Cam, now it's yours. So it's almost like that we've had 2 years to mold him, and now we can, he's going to be ready plug and play in 2 years. So that's, I think the upside is very, very high for the young man. And it's a cool thing, you know, because he was very selfless in the things he did, caught hell for it, and, right or wrong. And you know, I wish him all the best. I think he's going to do well.
Oh, I don't think we talked about snaps at all this year being an issue, maybe once or twice.
Versus there was one or two that flew, but that was okay. It was better than the 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10 we had a game.
Verz, I appreciate it. You know, it'll be another busy week around here. You can't go a day without some type of drama or some news. So, head on a swivel.
Sharpie, that's just job security, my guy.
I know it is. I know. I'm looking at drama at like Miami and I mean, a lot of the schools that were blue bloods in the 80s and the 90s that had great, unbelievable success, they're just so much damn drama. It just seems like it's one thing after another.
Yeah.
They can never get off the cycle of drama. And if they do, then they're golden. But it just, you know, I'm looking at what's going on at Miami today, and Miami should be happy, but God, there's a lot of drama there, and you know the drama that goes on here on a daily basis. So we'll see. Have a
show prep is easy. Just turn on Twitter. Like, right, what are we doing today, boy?
Nobody wants to stay. Some want to stay.
Hey,
you know,
by the
I mean.
Way, also,
yeah.
Also, quick shout out to all the young ladies that got the opportunity to participate in the women's wrestling this year. That's a cool thing for them.
Yes, including Rob Zadiska's daughter over at Westside, Piper.
Oh, buddy, she is.
Gonna be really good.
She's a machine.
Yes, she is.
Robbie turned 50. Rob turned 50, so I was at his birthday party, and she was sitting there. You can tell she enjoys lifted weights and works out. She's a nice little gal.
Yes, she is. Verz, as always, I appreciate it. Have a good week.
Bye, buddy.
That's Matt Verzal. You can follow him on Twitter at Verz51 or stop in and see him. You can have the same conversation that we just had here with him in person over at Paisons at 156th and Center. All right, Mike Schaefer is going to come up at 11:30. Have we already like connected him, Josh? Schaefer was with us last Thursday, and it was just a terrible connection. He felt bad. We felt bad. We sent him a Cricket wireless phone.
We got the ladies downstairs plugging the switchboard.
Actually,
whatever.
We've worked our connections in Lincoln, and we've sent them to a place that has a landline. So Schaefer will join us at 11:30. Lots going on. Mario Cristobal, it's official at Miami. Manny Diaz is out. That is a wild scenario, how they got there. What's next for Oregon? Which, there's a lot of pressure for this hire because USC appears to be coming back. So what does Oregon do? And Oregon right now is the best job in the Pac-12 with facilities and support, and the facilities are actually even getting better in Eugene, believe it or not. But Miami has a new coach. Oregon has an opening. And don't kid yourself. We talked about this last week. Whenever Nebraska down the road has to hire a new football coach, you're going to have to spend some money. You're going to have to, you cannot say, nope, we're going to be very, very financially savvy. Those days for anybody is over. Look at Florida State. Florida State just looked at an in-state school and two in-state schools that have just hired a new football coach, and they've got to make a decision on Mike Norvell next year if things don't work out. Look at how the price just went up in Tallahassee. The price has gone up around college football to keep your guy or to go get a new guy. And there's a new guy in Miami. What does that mean? He did tell, this is being reported by people of the Miami Herald, he apparently did tell the power brokers at Miami, it's going to be a while before we get to the playoff. I like it. He's not giving you a false pretense. Hey, I'm here. We're going to the playoff. He said it's going to be a while before we get to the playoff. And they said, you can have as long as you want. Yeah, that's what they say today. And then 3 years later, they're going, we're off and running. Hour number two of the Gary Sharp Show with Josh coming up next on 1620 The Zone.